It is Thursday, August 27th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, Asian stocks rise following Wednesday's surge on Wall Street.
I think there's still a lot of negatives around China, and this could just be a short-term rebound unless we see convincing steps in coming days by the Chinese government.
European leaders meet in Vienna to discuss the migration crisis, and the mother and daughter country music duo The Judds prepare to reunite in Las Vegas. It's all ahead. Global markets have been reacting strongly to a rebound of U.S. stocks, which drove the benchmark Dow Jones Index more than 600 points higher Wednesday. After 2 days of losses, the reversal was welcome news and followed a suggestion from a member of the U.S. Central Bank's Monetary Policy Panel that a key interest rate may not move higher next month. Wall Street's performance was followed by further gains in Asia, where even the diving Shanghai Composite Index in China gained more than 5% Thursday, following a combined 5-day fall of some 20% of its value. Falling stocks on the mainland are seen as a reflection of the growing concerns over China's weakening economy and the unexpected devaluation of the currency, the yuan, earlier this month. IHS Global Insight chief economist Rajiv Biswas in Singapore tells International Edition's Victor Beatty, while falling Chinese stocks appear to reflect a long overdue correction and not a bear market, Chinese economic fundamentals remain weak.
I think we've seen some confidence coming back into the Asian markets, firstly because China cut interest rates and the reserve requirement ratio, which gave some hopes that China might be taking action to try to boost their economy, and also because the U.S. stock market rebounded last night. So I think all of that helped to support the Asian markets today. However, I think there's still a lot of negatives around China, and this could just be a short-term rebound unless we see convincing steps in coming days by the Chinese government that reassure investors that the government is serious about trying to boost the economic outlook in China. One of the biggest problems that's been around the decline in the stock market in China in recent weeks has been that the economic data has also been worsening. So although the Chinese government did take measures to try to prop up their stock market, there simply weren't enough steps to reassure investors or even convince investors that the economy was about to turn around. I don't think this one rate cut will be enough. I think they'll have to do a lot more. So therefore, I think that this rebound may not last very long unless we really see some more measures by China. Because if you look right now at the global environment, the data coming out of China is very weak for industrial production, for new investment. Also, what we're seeing is global commodities are suffering because expectations are that China is going to be slowing down. So there's a lot of negative news out there that's still weighing on global equity markets. And then, of course, the other question that's in people's minds is, will the Fed raise rates? Because, again, if the Fed raises rates sometime soon, that, again, could put jitters into equity markets in Asia and result in some of the Asian currencies falling against the U.S. dollar.
China's central bank reportedly Thursday set its central rate for the yuan currency at a four-year low against the dollar. Is the devaluation earlier in August, did that catch policymakers in China by surprise, the world reaction to that devaluation?
Well, it seems that they were somewhat taken aback, but I think it was inevitable if they implemented three devaluations in a row day after day, that the world would be in shock. So they shouldn't have been too surprised by the reaction. I think what's now very much of concern in Asia is whether there are going to be more devaluations to come. There's quite a lot of speculation and I think even market expectations that this is not the end of the devaluation process. Temporarily, they may not pursue more devaluations, but there is an expectation that there may be more yet to come because China's export sector has lost competitiveness over the last 4 or 5 years, not only because of the currency appreciating against the U.S. dollar and other currencies, but also because their manufacturing wages have been rising. So to try to address those issues at a time when their economy is softening, there's concerns that there may be more devaluations yet to come, either later this year or into 2016. But those are just speculative views right now rather than any concrete indications from the government.
That's economist Rajiv Biswas. Well, meanwhile, the state-run People's Daily insists that while stocks are falling, the economy is not. It says the government is not rushed to intervene in the market, a sign Beijing has confidence in the economy, which is the world's second largest. It also says the driving forces for growth still exist and reforms will give impetus for an economic boom. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. So, Andrew, how is the social media, reacting to, sort of this up and down week on global markets?
Well, it's kind of shifted now. It's gone from, as we talked about, Black Monday, Turnaround Tuesday. Now people are kind of focusing on their own lives. So we have a lot of questions on social media about, well, I see these prices falling. How is it going to affect me? And a lot of people talking about oil. They're saying oil prices are way down, but I don't see the price of the pump going down. Mm-hmm. We have a video up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/voiceofamerica, that talks about this phenomenon called price stickiness. And the idea is that even though oil prices are going down, people, gas stations, oil merchants, things like that, aren't dropping their prices, and the prices kind of stick where they are. So it was an interesting topic, I thought. So I encourage people to check that out, because I know that's been a question that a lot of people have been asking, saying, I don't see a tangible, impact on my life, prices getting cheaper. Here in the U.S., of course, the sad news from Roanoke, Virginia, the two journalists, TV journalists, Allison Parker and Adam Ward, shot while they were doing a story on air live. And then the even worse news that the shooter had filmed this shooting and put it up on his social media accounts. People quickly going to Twitter and Facebook saying, pull this video, shut it down. And Twitter, to their credit, took it off within minutes. Facebook as well, but not before people were able to download this video. And we've seen screenshots of the video. So it's been very sad news out of there. But a lot of people offering their condolences for those reporters and just saying that this is a kind of a weird case in that not only were they killed on air, but then the shooter filmed it and put it up on social media as kind of his way of getting it out there. So it's really terrible use of social media, but a good response from the social media companies to address it quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked about, on a lighter note yesterday, the McWhopper.
Yes.
The combination of Burger King and McDonald's saying we're going to, give peace a chance and combine our burgers. Well, unfortunately, McDonald's has shut that down.
It's not to be.
Yeah, it's not to be. McDonald's said thanks, but no thanks. And, of course, today is hashtag National Burger Day. So there's a lot of questions saying, well, was Burger King and McDonald's, maybe they're just trying to make a ploy to promote their product for hashtag, National Burger Day, which is trending today. And then finally, Facebook is launching its answer to Siri. Of course, Siri is the Apple service where you can press the button on your iPhone and talk into it, ask Siri questions. It's going to be called M. But what's interesting about this is that it's artificial intelligence like Siri, but it's backed up by real people. So people are going to be monitoring it. And supposedly, Facebook says you'll be allowed to book restaurants, travel, make appointments through this service. So it's kind of a one-stop shop, kind of a concierge kind of service backed up by real people. So we'll see how successful that is and if that gets off the ground and it overtakes Siri and Cortana, which is another service.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. Well, in other news, German Chancellor Angela Merkel is meeting Thursday with leaders of Balkan nations to discuss Europe's worst migration crisis since World War II. The meeting in Vienna, Austria, comes a day after Chancellor Merkel faced down jeering anti-immigrant protesters in the eastern German city of Heidenau, saying her country has no tolerance for shameful and repulsive treatment of refugees. Several dozen people gathered outside a Heidenau refugee center, booing and shouting at Chancellor Merkel, but the German leader rebuked the protesters.
Menschliche Behandlung und würdige Behandlung. Jedes Einzelne, der zu uns kommt,
She said treatment with humanity and the dignity of every single person who comes to us is part of our basic understanding. This is what symbolizes Germany. What happened here is shameful and disgusting. Well, in the past few days, a surge of tens of thousands of migrants has passed from Greece into the Balkans towards Western Europe. Countries on the front line of the crisis are demanding help from European partners, as Henry Ridgewell reports for VOA.
Along disused railroad tracks between Serbia and Hungary, the human traffic of Europe's refugee crisis slowly advances, step by step. Men and women of all ages, the sick, newborn babies, the elderly, some on crutches and bearing the scars of conflicts back home in Syria, Afghanistan and Iraq. The vast majority wants to reach Western Europe, but the surge is overwhelming the countries along its path. Authorities in Macedonia have switched tactics, adding extra trains and buses to speed the migrants' passage north to Serbia. While visiting migrants in Macedonia this week, Sebastian Kurz, foreign minister of summit host Austria, said the European asylum system was broken. He said that we urgently need an overall European approach, and the refugees arriving from Greece should not be routed to Macedonia. Hungary says a daily record of 2,100 migrants entered from Serbia Monday. The country is racing to finish a fence along the frontier, due to be completed by the end of August. The fence will worsen the situation, says Amnesty International's Gary Van Gulik.
If they're then blocked in Hungary, it's impossible to see where they can go next. At the moment, Serbia is not able to process many asylum seekers, and we know that they can't go to Macedonia. I mean, in Macedonia, it's even worse. Dysfunctional asylum system, some abuses against migrants. So where are these people going to go?
Many of the migrants are trying to reach Germany. Chancellor Angela Merkel called on European states to implement joint asylum agreements.
Die vollständige Umsetzung dieses Asylrechts auch wirklich realisieren.
She said that should involve registering the migrants, minimum standards of accommodation and minimum standards of healthcare. Berlin announced it will no longer force Syrian refugees to return to the country where they first entered the EU, normally Greece or Italy, to apply for asylum. But the influx has prompted attacks by anti-immigrant groups. A shelter on the outskirts of Berlin that was due to house hundreds of refugees was destroyed in a suspected arson attack Monday. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
This is VOA.
Here's Science in a Minute.
People have burned incense for centuries. It has been used as a ceremonial element in religious rituals and in the home as a deodorizer, insect repellent, or for even meditation and aromatherapy. Now, Chinese researchers have found that burning incense indoors might be harmful to your health. When incense is burned, fine and ultra-fine particles are released into the air. These particles can be inhaled into the lungs, which can cause an inflammatory response. The researchers found that smoke from incense contains chemical properties that might modify and possibly mutate genetic material like DNA. They also learned that the smoke contained more toxins that can harm a body's cells and genetic material than cigarette smoke. The researchers said they hope their findings will lead to further evaluation of incense products on human health. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, Washington's National Zoo loses a baby panda. Honeybees are disappearing, and no one knows exactly why. Entomologists and scientists around the world are scrambling to find the answer to colony collapse disorder. As Erica Celeste discovered at an apiary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, amateur beekeepers are doing what they can to keep the bee population buzzing.
Bees are responsible for one out of every three bites of food we eat. So it's little wonder that Megan Ryan wants to do everything she can for them. This spring, she started an apiary at the Southwest Conservation Club.
Our hives are full of what's called Italian honeybees.
Italian bees are among the most popular stocks because they're gentler and reproduce faster than other types of domesticated honeybees. In just 4 months, the club's apiary has grown from 10,000 to 70,000 bees per hive. Fellow beekeeper Alex Cornwell says that's good news, because over the last decade, both American and European hives have lost more than a quarter of their population.
It's unknown exactly what colony collapse disorder is caused by specifically, but it could be a combination of anywhere from pesticides to mites to pathogens.
It could also be stress. If too many bees die off at once, it prompts immature bees to leave the nest too early. They can't collect the needed honey quickly enough, make fatal mistakes, and die off early, continuing the downward spiral. Researchers at Australia's Macquarie University suggested that theory in the March issue of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. While the search for the cause of colony collapse continues, the Southwest Conservation Club's apiary is adding to the bee population. It also provides information. Every time they visit, Ryan and Cornwell document everything from the bee's temperament to the condition of the hive to the way the eggs are being laid.
We would share it with the DNR, with other beekeepers. Any conservation effort, any organization that would like our records, we freely share those.
And the pair is sharing their knowledge and passion. They have set up an educational component teaching the public about beekeeping in hopes of encouraging more people to start their own hives.
Well, you don't have to be a scientist that has a degree in order to teach people and help people learn about bees, and that's the awesome part about beekeeping. Anybody can do it.
So far, about 100 people have expressed an interest. Ryan and Cornwell also plan to start a program to teach migrant workers about beekeeping so they can take the skill with them wherever they go. In the meantime, at the Southwest Conservation Club, the bees are doing fine. They've already had an early honey harvest, and more people have offered to donate land to expand the apiary. For VOA News, I'm Erica Celeste in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Doctors at the National Zoo here in Washington are awaiting autopsy results of one of two giant panda cubs that died unexpectedly just 5 days after birth. The zoo's chief veterinarian says Mei Shang's cub died Wednesday, a day after experiencing some respiratory problems. Both mother and the surviving cub are said to be doing okay for now. Brandy Smith is the associate director for animal care sciences at the National Zoo.
The little cub that we have now, all appearances, is healthy and doing well. And Mei Shang is the same incredible mother that she was to Bao Bao and to Taishan. And so our goal right now is the team working with Mei Shang to make sure that this cub survives.
Mei Shang is a star attraction at the National Zoo, and tourists have flocked to her enclosure since doctors said she appeared to be pregnant again. This is VOA.
Hashtag VOA. It's a weekly show, Tuesdays at 1730 UTC, where we bring you the top topics of the week. But the show lives on social media every day with your daily video shorts, What's Trending Wednesday, and the Friday Fast Five. Subscribe to the show at YouTube. You can find us at hashtag VOA. You can reach me at Twitter, at Perry Cal, or talk to the show anytime. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. We love to be seen. And you can reach us anytime.
This is International Edition. Naomi and Winona Judd were once one of the top country music acts in the United States, winning 5 Grammy Awards plus numerous Academy of Country Music and Country Music Association Awards. Now the duo is reuniting. International Edition's David Byrd spoke with VOA Country Hits USA host Nikki Strong about their new tour.
If you're a fan of country music, the names Naomi and Winona Judd are very recognizable to you. But we haven't heard from the pair known as the Judds since the early 1990s. Nikki, that was when Naomi was diagnosed with hepatitis C.
Yes.
And she thought she'd never perform again.
Yep.
But we have good news.
Yes! she overcame, and of course, another residency is now in the works, another tour. They're going to be in Las Vegas October 7th through the 24th. It's a residency. It's called Girls Night Out, a nod to their 1985 number one hit. This is going to be the first joint performance for the mother duo in 5 years. They did the last encore tour back in 2010, 2011. The concert is going to feature some of their biggest hits. They're doing the set list. They're going to be doing Mama, He's Crazy, Why Not Me, Love Can Build a Bridge, which you know is the song of the title track of their last studio album. And it also marks their 25th anniversary of that album.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so this is going to be at the Venetian in Las Vegas?
Yes, at the Venetian. And also Wynonna is going to be performing tracks from her solo career as well.
Yeah, now Wynonna, we should mention, did go on to have a rather successful solo career after her mom had to leave the road.
Yes.
Because, you know, hepatitis C is a very serious disease.
Yes.
And the rigors of touring, Naomi had no choice. I remember it was quite heart-wrenching for her.
Yeah, yeah. And also because you can die from hepatitis C.
Right.
So, and Wynonna is saying this tour, this residency rather, is she said she looked at it as an incredible opportunity to celebrate her mom.
Hmm.
And she even said, when this opportunity was presented to me, she was like, I had to take it. I have a new album coming out soon, and this is the perfect way to honor the roots that gave me the wings to fly.
Wow. Now, this residency thing, this is not the first time that a country act has done this. We had Brooks and Dunn have
yes.
also done this.
Yes.
Reba McEntire
yes.
has also done this.
Shania Twain.
Shania Twain has also done this.
Yes.
And so it's a way for people to go and see some of their country favorites without the country favorites having to go all over the country.
Also, Wynonna is working on a new album.
Oh.
Yes, so this is a great segue. It's a project with her husband. She's calling it, you know, it's vintage yet modern, but I think it's coming out next year.
All right, well, we look forward to that, and we look forward to hearing from you. You can send us a tweet at VOA underscore music. You can also send one to at VOA underscore IE for International Edition, and you can listen for Nikki's show, which is Country Hits USA, on our website, www.voanews.com.
Mama, he's crazy.
And that's our show. Thanks for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The government of Guinea and two main opposition parties there have signed an agreement to settle their dispute over terms of the upcoming presidential election, raising hopes of an inclusive and peaceful vote. The deal, reached after weeks of informal talks, allows for representation in local communal councils to reflect results of the 2013 legislative election. As part of the agreement, the government pledged to give the opposition representation in 128 of Guinea's 343 districts. The agreement also addresses the opposition's concern about the integrity of voter registration lists. The government agreed to establish a technical committee attached to the National Independent Electoral Commission to review the lists. Finally, there was agreement to replace two recently deceased members of the commission with opposition members. Guinea has made solid progress since its democratic transition in November 2010, but the terms of the October 11th presidential elections have been in dispute. The opposition has staged protests, some resulting in injuries and several deaths. The United States commends the agreement reached between Guinea's ruling and opposition political parties, which clears the way for Guinea to hold the first round of presidential elections next month. The government and opposition political parties demonstrated goodwill, flexibility, and a shared commitment to holding credible, inclusive, and peaceful elections. We remain committed to supporting the electoral process and urge the parties to continue dialogue throughout the election period, committing themselves and their supporters to nonviolence. We encourage all parties to build on this positive development by working together to prepare for the elections according to the new agreement. The United States sees a role for all Guineans in standing together at this important moment and ensuring the upcoming elections unify the nation and strengthen its democracy.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email,
visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.